I'm at the home of Sharon Ferguson. She, the Reverend Sharon Ferguson, I mm-hmm. should say. She's the CEO of the Lesbian and Gay Christian Movement. And we've been talking this morning on BBC London 94.9 about the Reverend Steve Chalk's comments about more acceptance for loving gay Christian relationships. And Sharon clearly has a lot to say about that. But as we've been chatting this morning, you believe there is, because people are throwing around quotes from the Bible, aren't they? Verses mm-hmm. that stand down that argument, that say that gay people are not something that is, you know, that you cannot be gay and Christian, basically, mm-hmm. because it's against the word of God. You've got an example from the Bible that can support the fact that there were gay Christians mm-hmm. in the past. Tell me about that.
Well, I mean, I actually don't believe that there's anything in the Bible that says that loving same-sex relationships are not acceptable. I do believe that there are texts that actually talk about same-sex relationships in very positive terms. We often hear about David and Jonathan, Ruth and Naomi, but I don't want to actually talk about those. It is very clear that Jesus never, ever spoke out, explicitly about same-sex relationships at all, and he didn't speak about same-sex sexual activity at all either. But I do believe there is an example in the New Testament where Jesus has actually affirmed a same-sex loving relationship. And that is the story of the centurion who comes to him to ask for healing for his servant. The servant is a male servant and is referred to as the beloved. And that might not seem like anything. Jesus healed lots of people. Lots of people came to him and asked for healing. But we have to put this into its context and into the culture of the day. And first of all, we have to remember that servants, slaves, were property. If you got fed up with one, if one annoyed you, you could sell it or just get rid of it and buy another one. This wasn't something that you even considered human a lot of the time. It was property. And then you also have to consider the relationship between the Romans and the Jews. They didn't have a happy relationship. The only time they had any dealings with each other was when the Romans wanted to collect the taxes or to keep law and order, this sort of thing. And yet here we have a centurion, a Roman officer, somebody who had his legion of officers with him, who was relatively high up in society, who comes along and asks an itinerant rabbi, Jewish rabbi, Jewish teacher, Jewish healer, to heal his piece of property. Now, this would have been unheard of. The Romans would not have done this, and certainly not for a servant. And yet here he is begging Jesus to heal his servant. And Jesus not only heals the servant without any second thought, but then actually goes on to actually commend the Roman centurion and say that he was a man with more faith than the whole of Israel. So I do believe that there are examples where same-sex loving relationships are actually affirmed within the Bible.
So why is it then that mainstream Christians don't seem to see the same meaning in those texts?
Well, I don't even know whether it's just mainstream Christians. I think it's a case that with all of us, we tend to take things on face value. And a lot of the time, we go to church, we hear what a pastor says, and we just accept it. We don't engage our brains. We don't stop and actually go back and look at the text and look at the context and look at what was going on around it. In church, we get a few verses picked out as part of the lectionary, and we look at those few verses, and we very rarely actually look at the whole story and look at what is actually really going on and look for the bigger message and look for the underlying mm-hmm. message of what's going on. And we also try to, we tend to, which again is only natural, we read things through 21st century eyes and understanding. And of course, this was written in the first century and in a particular place and at a particular time with a particular culture and understanding. And we have to remember that you know, not only wasn't there the technology, but very few people could read and write. So most of what we know was passed on orally, and then eventually written down. We have to take all those things into consideration when we're looking at it. So I don't think it's a case of that people don't want to engage with it. It's just that they know what they've been told. So that's what they then believe is the way it is. So I'm sure that if more people actually spent some time going back looking at the original texts, rather than just taking whatever translation that they're used to using, but going back and looking at it, putting it into its context, trying to see what is this story really about, what is it that Jesus is really trying to say and to do, why has this been put into our canon of scripture, why is it important that gospel writer included that story about Jesus. An example of that is, in today's lectionary, we've got a story from John of the wedding of Cana. Now, this story only appears in John. It doesn't appear in any of the other Gospels. In John, this is the first miracle, the first sign of Jesus. It's not the first miracle that's depicted. In the other Gospels, they concentrate on all the healings, all the exorcisms, whereas in John, he talks about the simple thing of changing water into wine. So why was that important for John? What is John trying to tell us about Jesus? What is he trying to explain to us? What are the deeper meanings? Yeah, it's a great story, but why is it in there? And I think, you know, too often we just take things at face value and just think, oh, yeah, there's a lovely little story about empathy, about Christian unity, or it tells us about the banquet in heaven, you know. But what else is in there? And I think if we can start doing that, if more people start engaging their brains when they're reading the Bible, when they're hearing people preach, rather than just taking things on face value, then I think more people will come to the same conclusion as Steve Chalk has done.